Thank you, Martha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't hear him actually adjourn.
Do we have to actually adjourn?
It's going to be a long meeting.
Okay, we're now adjourning out of executive session. It's 7:25. Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. So we're now adjourning back into public session at 7:26, Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. I was supposed to be with David Jr. I was 2 hours ago. That's one thing.
Well, this kind of reminds me of being in a car and driving into a whole field full of mud.
I want to investigate this. I want to go to court.
Take down. It's the middle of end of August. They're headed for the trip for the climate. They're not here.
Not many though.
Hi, is it too late to hand in? Thank you.
In the side of the door that you...
We had our own little boys' room. No. He made her blush.
Okay, so I'm going to ask for a motion from the board to accept Jane Stebbings' resignation as to litigation and to replace with Martha Rice. Motion on that.
I'll move to accept Jane Stebbings' withdrawal as counsel and move to approve Martha Rice as counsel.
I'll second.
Danielle?
Ken Range?
Yes.
Richard Heath?
Yes.
Roy Davis?
Yes.
Les Virtualman?
Yes.
Joe Spear?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go to agenda related comments. And make sure the rent's over here. Okay, we're going to, Michael Frederick, we're going to call on you for a ground user agreement form. It's an agenda.
Do you want to come up front?
Sure, Michael. Yeah, so our recording device can hear you.
All right. So I was looking at the packet online, and I know that was put together like almost 2 years ago, and we were at those meetings and workshops and trying to put that together. And something I wasn't going to mention is that at the time, in putting that together, one of the things that Alex and I have recommended is that you guys have in place a review program to analyze events and look at them and see if you're happy with how the people are running the events and so on. And I don't see that there is any really kind of established review. But things I wanted to mention, I heard rumor that there was some issue with parking and having to do with events, and someone had mentioned something about having to do with the sport fishing area. having to do with events. And we, last year, for Rock Pacheco, we got shuttles in place to help alleviate that. And we actually, that weekend, had to deal with the worst parking situation because we have a car show down there. So that takes up a big chunk of the parking. So anyhow, I thought the shuttles helped, but maybe that's something we could look at also in regard to the parking down there. There's a section in there in the agreement, it's the as-is part of it, where anyone who's getting the venue down there is taking it as-is. And, I think that makes sense to not expect the port to change things just because we didn't do an event that weekend or something. But the as-is has changed since that agreement was put in place. And when that started, we had the full boardwalk. We don't have that anymore. At that time, we had 11 tables down there, which dropped to 3. Well, actually 4. I think it's back up to like 7 now. So what's happened is we're getting less, but we're being charged the same, which I think that should be reviewed and looked at. I don't know why we should be charged the same. And now, this year, we're being charged for setup time for Oktoberfest, because we have to set this up late the day before, clean up some of it early Sunday morning the day after. And I find it unreasonable to be getting charged for the setup time and tear down time. We do a really good job. We're very conscientious on our stuff down there. We had one issue with a vendor at Rock the Chetco, and when we got notified about it, we contacted them immediately. They paid the penalty for the cleanup. I think the setup down there can even attract attention, get people down there, get them, you know, interested in what's going on. But I don't think we should be charged for the setup time and the teardown time. So, anything else on here? Yeah, and we didn't get charged for it last year. So I don't know why this year it's different and we're being charged. So if that could be addressed at some point or we could discuss that, I would appreciate that.
Question. Thank you. Which event were you at or did you do?
We did the Rock the Chetco Memorial Day event, we did Dog Days event, we're doing the Salmon Famine event, we're doing the Oktoberfest, and we do the Saturday markets in the port. And then we do a couple other things.
For the past 2 years, correct, Mike? 3 years?
Yes.
Two years. Yep. Yeah, we've done some large events.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Please keep it up.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, so I do have another public request, but it's not an agenda-related item, so I'll call on you at the end.
Well, it has to do with the event and parking.
But we have nothing like that on the agenda, Barbara, so I'm going to have to call on you at the proper time, please, and you'll get your time. And I realize the connection between the two.
Thank you.
Five is to accept the minutes from Friday, June 15th, 2018, June 19th, 2018, June 27th, 2018, Tuesday, July 17th, 2018, and Monday, July 23rd, 2018. Can I get an motion to accept those minutes? Accept those minutes.
I make a motion to accept those minutes.
Is there any discussion from the board?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
So I'm just curious, and I asked Kathy this, why do we have a verbatim transcript of these meetings produced?
I don't think we're doing that anymore, are we?
We did. Right. That's why your packet is so thick. Because the way I heard George Dunkel, do the special districts training that you were at. He had said that we could attach the recording. Well, this is the recording.
Well, I go to a lot of meetings every year that have minutes, and this is the only one I've ever seen that has the minutes transcribed.
But because we tape it, no one is taking any written notes.
Right.
Because it's taped, the whole tape is there for the minutes.
But we do have to spend money to transcribe this. Then we have to spend money for our port employees to go through this. If I'm not correct, please let me know. And then label each person that's talking. Is that correct?
Danielle is the one person that does this.
So before, when I was doing it and I sent it to the, before going to the transcript, I'd have to sit down and listen to everything that every person said. And you had to speak very clearly for me to understand what you said. It could take me a week to 2 weeks to finish a set of minutes. So the transcript gets to me in 5 days and I can get it done in a day. Because if I can't understand you, then at least the transcript gives me an idea of what's going on and I don't have to listen to you 20 times and hope that I got it right.
Okay.
In your opinion, is this the most effective way to...
It has saved me so much time.
Okay. All right.
It does cost to send it out, but in my opinion, it saves money to not have me sit there and listen to a two-hour meeting that takes days and days and days, and then I can't do the rest of my job.
Perfect. Thank you for the clarification. Is that good with you guys?
Yeah, that's fine.
Good. Good deal.
I'm not sure what you asked. He made the motion.
Yeah, and then he seconded it.
I can't do that.
All right.
So there's a question on June 15th for the approval of the agenda. You show that I made the motion to approve and seconded it also.
Okay.
We need to fix that.
Okay. You
can't. I made the motion to approve, but I don't think I seconded it.
Okay. I just suggest, and it helps in these meetings, if you tell me any errors before so I can get it fixed, and then now he says a minutes can't be accepted at this meeting and they have to wait till next month. And if that's a simple error, so that's something that I can easily fix and change before any of this even happens. So it's nice for me to know any errors beforehand so that way I can get it fixed, and that's a simple thing. So
unless you know who seconded the motion,
sometimes it's hard to tell. Even with the recording, they can't tell who you are, so I have to listen. And it's not to be rude or anything. You and Ken tend to have the same tone and talk really quietly, so it's hard to tell who is who. So, it's my mistake not paying attention to the fact that I put you down. It most likely is I thought I heard you speak a second, and I wrote it down and moved on. So it's just hard for me to distinguish the two voices sometimes.
Okay.
So, but you could accept, except for the one set of minutes that are in question, that the other minutes are not in question. You could accept.
I think we could accept that the June 15th meeting also, because there was only three commissioners. So that narrows it down to me that seconded it, because Roy, she would know him. So.
So you can just
with that correction, I think I'll second the motion that we accept all the meetings.
And before we get a roll call for the new commissioners, I for one thoroughly appreciate this transcript right here, because there was a certain meeting where the audio was turned off and there were very very poor minutes taken. So for this transcript to be sitting in front of me like this, I'm loving every second and every page of it, and it's absolutely wonderful to me. There are a lot of documents in our port office that are missing, and there's a lot of reasons they're missing. So if I can get this information through a tape, and Danielle can get it done in a day to five, get it 5 days, Danielle, if I can get this, I know it costs paper, but to be in our files, if any question of a meeting, whether it be a public meeting or whether it be executive meeting, the more of this you can get, and you'll hear more of this about it soon to come, and why. So
okay.
I appreciate the longhand myself. So can we get a roll call? We had a second, Danielle.
I second it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Richard Heath.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Yes.
Wes Fairchilling.
Yes.
Joe Spear.
Yes.
Okay, Kathy, can we get a financial review?
In your packet, you have the format that the court has been bringing forward to you. I just as soon try to answer any questions that you might have, as opposed to pointing out any questions.
Ken, do you have any questions?
No.
Wes, do you have any questions from the financial review?
Not right now.
No.
Okay, can I get a motion to accept the financial review as written?
I'll make a motion. We accept it as written.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Danielle?
Ken Rain?
Yes.
Richard Heath?
Yes.
Roy Davis?
Yes.
Wes Barzoli?
Yes.
Joe Keir?
Yes.
Okay, Kathy, manager's report and operational report.
Okay, so they're both written out. I don't want to take up any additional precious time. Just the highlights that we started the debrushing. And David Allen is in the audience, and I appreciate your parking lot being available for one of the dumpsters that we have. As your commissioners have already been informed, Jordan White, Officer Jordan White, has informed me that the homeless camp was changing and was relocating into the court property that's adjacent to the state farm property, and it became even more important. It was something that I've been working on for 2 months to get it brushed. And after talking with County Deputy White, it became even more important. And so after talking with, I believe I've talked with each and every one of you about the situation, we went forward. The port leased excavator, it arrived. We got a half hour of work on it, and it broke. So we've got the replacement today, and it's looking really well. The epoxy treatment, we hope to have the epoxy treatment on the BC fishery stock November 5th to 12th. And still working with Carver Sand on something more than just a Band-Aid on the RV park bathroom sand that comes in the high tides that we're going to expect as winter approaches. And then Travis included some of, did I miss it? Oh, thank you. It was just filed differently. Travis goes through the different things that that the port's been working on, and he put it in bullets. And we did order the new port truck. It is in Medford. It hasn't arrived here yet. The older new truck has to go over and be serviced. So they're going to have it serviced and pick up the new one at the same time. Also in my report, you saw that the landings from ODFW, bottom line, just in the port of Brookings, since the end of July, first week of August, has brought in $12.5 million in product. That's without any turnover as a modification. That's it.
Kathy, can you or Richard take that $12 million and tell the board and the public some comparisons to other ports? Can we compare to Charleston with that figure? Do we know what Charleston's brought in since that time frame?
I don't have that information. Do you, Richard?
No, not right off the top of my head. It would be hard to compare because of the shrimp fishery.
Yeah.
I don't think Charleston receives shrimp, do they?
Yes, they
do. Oh, yeah, their shrimp fleets.
So I don't know.
Historically, the Port of Brookings is fourth in the landings of the state. The three leading ports are Astoria, Newport, and Charleston. Brookings comes in fourth. the commercial activity in the other ports is just doesn't qualify them to push us out of fourth place.
Thank you, Kathy. Any questions from the board for Kathy?
I have a comment.
Okay.
First of all, I appreciated that fisheries information. I haven't seen that before, and I like that. My other comment for the staff would be, thank goodness you got that tree out by the bathroom.
Hey, yes.
Safely.
Exactly. And we removed a bunch of trees out of the RV park. As you know, the shore pines, they blow in the wind and they contort, and it was beginning to be a problem with a lot of the RVers, so most of the trees have been taken out of the RV park.
Ken, any questions for Kathy?
Yeah.
Wes, any questions?
No.
Joe?
No.
Oh, I do have one more thing to add. Ken, were you going to bring it up during manager's report about the visit from Westport, the museum, to see the 44-footer?
Roy should have the most information on that. You just talked to Joanne, right?
Yeah, I will. I will update everybody on that. I had a two-hour meeting with Joanne. And her and I came to an agreement, not her, I, and the board. This was a private meeting that I had with Joanne Cady, who's the owner of the lighthouse up here on the point. That is a registered working lighthouse in the state of Oregon. Her husband, Bill Cady, bought that boat with intentions of giving it to the Port of Brookings, and it's staying in the Port of Brookings. I have not met, is it Mr. John Shaw?
Yes.
Up in Westport, it's entirely up to the board. We can vote on any meeting what to do with this boat. I'm just letting the board know what Joanne and I
right.
felt the same.
Kathy and I did meet with Bob Shaw.
Right. Joanne is hesitant to sign anything. A member of our community that was once in charge of that vessel. With the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, asked me to go meet with Joanne. Joanne requested me to come up and meet with her. I did. Her concern is that there's been so much going on in the port, the small things like, you know, the boat registration, you know, not a small thing, but the giant cleanup, you know, these things haven't been done, and she feels kind of like the boat's just been kind of passed on. She was insulted on a visit to the port when the boat was actually being moved from the Coast Guard area to where it sits now. I felt really bad to hear about that. I told Joanne I would do this for her. I told her I would take it upon myself at my own expense and time to go up to the Westport Museum, meet with John Shaw, talk to the staff there, see the items that they have on display. Joanne is persistent that she does not want that boat to be sold for profit. It must remain in her opinion, must remain in a 503c nonprofit organization. It was a little bit of a hard meeting. Joanne just lost her husband just a few days before I met with her. But the conversation was clearly more about the boat than anything. But I did offer that to Joanne for me to drive up to Westport, look at the museum, come back, meet with her again, get her opinion, bring it back to the board. And if the board thinks that's a waste of time and we just want to vote on it to get it out of here or do something with it, the board can tell me it's a voting process. We vote what to do with that vote. So if it was to be brought to a vote tonight, I would vote no, not to send that to the museum as of now. I would rather make one last attempt at a citizen who, you know, donated a very large nautical maritime piece of history to this boat. A boat served out of San Francisco as a life-saving vessel. There have been at least a half a dozen people that I have met that actually served on that vessel. Two were the coxswains. And recently we had a wife and a husband that served on it.
Right.
And, you know, he was, boat was very special to him. The word's getting out, you know, the boat's here. And, you know, right now, and I sat down to Richard Heap tonight before this meeting started, and I told him, I'm frustrated. You know, there's so much going on in the Port of Brookings right now that nothing, I mean, we're getting cleaned up. We got some new launch ramps. Yes, there's some things. But we're not to where we need to be because of other stuff that's negative that's getting in our way. And I feel that this boat is very important. I feel that it's worth a trip to the museum to meet the man, to see his staff, to see his other restoration projects. The Coast Guard boat, I haven't been on it until recently for 5 years. The engine room is an absolute disaster. There's been no ventilation in it. Those boats weren't made with ventilation in it. So it's corroded, it's seized up, nothing works, it's a disaster. It's aluminum and a steel substructure. Another 5 years and nobody's gonna want the boat because they're gonna have to reskin it or do something. The equipment in the engine room, it's non-functional. There was no oil, no water in the oil. There was no water. I see no water in the oil, no oil in the water. So those parts of the engine have stayed separate like they're supposed to be. I just personally have not spoken with John Shaw or seen the facility. I've been to the Astoria Maritime Museum probably a dozen times. If it's anything like that, we should consider it. Yes, Richard.
I have some experience with military restorations, and I can tell you that in order to do one, it takes a huge amount of work and a huge organization that's willing to do it.
That's correct.
And I'd love to have that boat stay here if we had that momentum in this community.
It's not going to get done.
If they're going to do it up there and they're willing to do it right, then I have no problem personally with that boat going up there. Yeah. And the bottom line is there's a finite number of those that are around.
Yes.
And if we let one go, then that's one less that's going to be available for some museum someplace. Mm-hmm. So that's just my thought on it.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Richard. I totally agree with you. And I doubt with what's going on, you know, in the port's history and present, that boat's going to just get worse and worse and worse, and nobody's going to want it. So I'll make the trip up there in probably 2 weeks. No more than 2 weeks, I'll make that trip up there. And I'll bring back, maybe have a special meeting and let the commissioners know what I saw, talked to, and then we can make a vote on it. But I'm like Richard, I don't see that vessel getting restored in the Port of Brookings. It's been here, Kathy, it's '05.
Yes, it's got to at least
Something like 2005. It's been here a long, long time. We've had the Boy Scouts involved. We had the churches involved. We had the Coast Guard Auxiliary involved. We've had volunteer people involved. We've had umpteen groups. I do boat work for a living, and it's not a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, is what it is, like Richard said. It's very expensive to have done. So I'll go to the museum. I'll come back. I'll tell everybody what guy says, looks like, his product, his museum. Has anybody been to that museum in Westport? I didn't know they had one, but I saw some pictures and it looks pretty nice.
Yeah,
you been there, Doug?
Yeah.
That's pretty nice?
Yeah, it's a real nice museum.
Yeah, okay.
Really nice, yeah.
Right, okay.
Wish we had something like that here.
Oh yeah, there's just, yeah. And there was an attempt at one time, Doug. Manuel Lopez and Stuart Ehrenreich. Matter of fact, Stuart Ehrenreich called me today, Kelly. Called me today. Stuart Ehrenreich and Manuel Lopez, along with Deanne, I can't remember her name, and several others tried to start a museum in this port.
Dan Parks.
Remember, Joe?
Dan Parks.
And
what's that?
Give him the green building.
Well, it was as late as it talked about that. It was very much talked about that, but nothing ever took off the ground, Doug. You know, and for whatever reason, I wish we could get the crap out of our way and talk about the pack choice docks, the pylon products. You know, this vessel is just one small thing, but we need to get some crap out of the way and go to work in this port. So, you know, I'm getting off subject, but that was what I had to say. And, well, Mama Connie, you're going to be up in here in just a minute.
But I want to talk about the funding for that.
You're going to have your time here in just a minute, Connie.
For that boat.
Okay, but you're on the agenda for a specific item tonight. Okay, Connie, please.
In public comments?
Yes, you can talk about it in public comments. If you have a non-agenda related public comments, did you fill out a form out? You're supposed to, Connie, but that would be we're going to let you do it tonight, in public comments, okay? Not right now.
Fill
out. Oh, you're going to fill out, okay. But yeah, for sure, Connie. Anyway, where are we going now?
So the Enterprise Zone,
yes.
Tracy is here in the audience again.
Mm-hmm.
You met her last month.
Mm-hmm. You want to come up again, Tracy?
It's up to you. If you have more questions, I can certainly.
Well, I don't think I have any questions myself. I've read it. I've talked with the manager, talked with David Brock Smith, our state representative, about it. Yeah, thank you, Connie. If I'm going to see what the other commissioners would like to say or maybe make a motion to, you know, support it. Our representative sure does want us to support it. And it doesn't hurt or help the port. It's just supporting economic growth. So I'll start with Richard.
Well, I'm
Ken. I'm still working on that, Rich.
Ken.
I don't fully understand it, so I need a little more information on it, and primarily with the taxes, how taxes get dealt with.
Okay. Do you want me to come up?
Sure. If these guys have questions, absolutely.
All right. Well, sorry. I think you're in the middle of this. Taxes. So for the Enterprise Zone, I'm not sure exactly what you mean, but taxes, like as in
property
the abated
taxes.
One? Okay, so if somebody comes in to a site that's within the Enterprise Zone boundary, they can meet the eligibility, ready to go. Anything that's on the tax rolls remain on the tax rolls. So the land, nothing ever be taken off any tax rolls. What is abated is new and eligible equipment to manufacture something. So building improvements, new construction, machinery and equipment, those things are simply abated. The assessed value is put on the tax rolls at the end of 3-year period.
So for 3 years, the port or the county is losing money?
Money that they haven't collected yet. See, you know what I mean?
Okay, but in 3 years, you're going to collect
return.
Some money, but are you going to go collect the money from the back 3 year?
That's the state incentive plan for the Enterprise Zone. To attract people, to give perhaps new people or... a big percentage of what we see now is our businesses that are expanding. It gives them an opportunity, maybe a step up to put in some machinery equipment or, you know, some sort of upgrades and, you know, grow and get that.
And is there an agency then that approves their concept of whatever the improvements they want to make before they invest this money?
They would, I'm not quite sure. I mean, you know, any permitting that's normal, they have to get, whatever that would be. The equipment, there's an eligibility, you know, what is it going to manufacture something? It's not for retail, it's not for health care, it's a certain, by statute, certain businesses. And
the question he's asking would come out in the eligibility determination.
Right.
They would have to state a business plan, they have to hire people, isn't that correct?
Yes.
So, but who did they submit it to?
So an application is filled out. The Curry County has, in their resolution, appointed CCD, who we are a private nonprofit. We're the enterprise zone manager for several different enterprise zones in Coos Curry and Douglas County. So the application comes to us just so we can get it to one place, and then we work with Curry County and the assessor's department on going through, making sure that those items that they are listing are eligible and that the employment is met. There's annual forms every year, like we fill out our tax papers, they have a form also that shows what the actual items were, the costs, etc. And that's when they're working with the assessor's department.
Okay, thank you.
My comments are I'm in favor of this.
Yeah.
It's an advantage to the port to be able to maybe be a little more attractive to new businesses or expansion of businesses. And I don't see a disadvantage to the port at all. If people want to expand and improve their properties and make them more valuable, that's our benefit. If they want to hire more people, that's our benefit. So I'm in favor of the resolution.
I as well. Wes?
I agree.
Joe?
I agree.
Do we want to make a motion to support the enterprise zone?
Well, there's a resolution in your packet. It's 492. Okay.
492?
I make a motion that we approve Port of Brookings Harbor resolution number 492.
You get a second?
I'll second.
Danielle?
Ken Range?
Yes.
Richard Pete?
Yes.
Troy Davis?
Yes.
Wes Gracioli?
Yes.
Joe Spear?
Yes.
Thank you.
And if I can ever come back and explain it further, just give me a holler.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the transient dock by the boat ramp. Do we want to call on Richard for this? Kathy?
Is that when you were going to introduce your proposed language for
right.
So resolution?
This stems from the request you made of me to get hold of the Rain Board, which I did, mm-hmm. and I sent you a report at the July meeting. And I'm going to propose to amend ordinance number one, which takes a two-meeting process. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And the reason I'm doing that, I'll read you the language from the Marine Board. They're very specific about that. They call it the tie-up dock by the boat ramp is further restricted for commercial use because federal boating infrastructure grant funding for the gangway and dock renovations were expended. Basically what will happen is if we have any commercial use of that, it puts us at risk of default with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we would have to repay the federal funds to them. And I don't remember what the federal funds were, but I think they were over $1 million. Okay. Mm. They also talk about parking here. And what they basically say is that any activity that has been funded by recreational fishing dollars, like the boat ramp parking area, that interferes with the use of that could result in us forfeiting our grant. So there are something at stake, and that's part of the reason that the parking issue came up. Mm. So my proposal is, I move to amend ordinance number one as follows. Add 4.23.1, no commercial use of the boat ramp transient dock in Basin 1 will be allowed. Commercial use includes the offloading of catch for delivery to a business vehicle or other conveyance. Amend 4.39.1 to read, public parking except in areas so designated by the Port of Brookings Harbor. I'm adding language. Areas where public parking is expressly prohibited include the launch ramp parking area except as designated for daily use by vehicles towing boat trailers and single car parking in designated areas. Semicolon, the boat wash lanes and approach lanes except when washing a trailered boat, semicolon, other areas deemed as necessary to ensure compliance with grant agreements. That's my motion.
That's your motion, Richard?
That's a motion.
Okay.
Second it.
I'll see you. Good. Danielle, roll call, please.
Ken Range?
Yes.
Richard Dean?
Yes.
Ray Davis?
Yes.
Wes Fairchild?
Yes.
Joe Spear?
Yes.
Okay, so to clarify, it's my understanding, talking with Martha before the meeting and after the executive session, that this is, again, this is a two-meeting process. And what we did, what you all did tonight, was you agreed the language and the numbers to start the process to amend ordinance one.
And so now that's out for public review?
Well,
so you have an opportunity at the next meeting to comment.
Martha, without having seen our resolution book, I thought that it was going to have to become ordinance two with our ordinance book. And so there is a little bit of legalese that Martha's going to have to pursue before we continue to call it ordinance one. The only time that ordinance one is 1998. To the best of my knowledge, there is no verbiage in ordinance one that has been changed since 1998. So Martha's going to need to do a little bit of work before this verbiage is actually added into the full document.
Well, my only comment would be when I read ordinance number one, I was impressed the way it's laid out. So that 4.23.1, it's made to be able to be added to
exactly.
And modified.
She just wants to read our other ordinances, the ones that have expired or have been replaced.
Okay.
So, did we vote on this already?
Yes, you did.
Okay. My question, so this allows the port to enforce this?
It's already, the language in ordinance one is already specific about the who will enforce it and how.
Okay.
What it basically says is that the port manager or their designee are authorized to enforce this.
Okay.
And one of the provisions is that vehicles that are parked illegally can be towed and stored at the owner's expense.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm suggesting that, but.
Right. Yeah, thank you for the research, Richard. That's good news.
Well, it's not good news for people who wanted to use that dock.
It's not.
And
it's not.
I get that, but unfortunately, after we asked, we got the answer, and the answer is pretty unequivocal to me. So.
Okay. Culvert repair, Kathy?
We exposed the culvert in Boat Basin 1 that was crushed, and we are waiting now for a plan to go that I can bring to you on how to replace it or rebuild it. Jack Aiken is working on it along with a lot of the other things that he's in the process of. So I just wanted you to know that we did expose the culvert and now we have to go into repair mode.
Any questions from the board for Kathy?
No.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. I will just tell the public that Jack Aiken has been a consultant engineer, go-to guy for the port for a very long time. So when we talk about Jack Aiken, that's who we're talking about. He's been around for a long, long time and done a great job for the port for a lot of years. Harbor Sanitary Credits, Kathy?
Ken Range wanted this to be discussed. As you know, when Fayleys was demolished, we received transferable credits from Harbor San, a one-time only deal, away from the continuous land, you know what I mean. And Ken was hoping to talk about or ask the commissioners what they feel about how these credits should be used.
Good.
The first thing, the Harbor Sound credits, we received $200,000 from the demolishing of Feely's and the laundromat. The past practice of the commissions has been to give them to private businesses. And I mean give them, from what I can understand. And if we want to build, and the green building, maybe you know, Kathy, or you know, Roy, those disappeared.
They were transferred to another business.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line is, if we want to complete the green building, or we want to build a new laundromat, we have to provide credits. And these credits come from the determination by the Harbor Sound as to what, if it's a restaurant, they're going to put more demand on the system, and they judge their price by how much the city is going to charge Harbor Sound for pumping this sewage. All of our sewage from the harbor goes to the city's sewer plant. So these, some of these things are worth thousands of dollars. Some are not worth so much. But it makes no sense to me to give away an asset that is transferable to anything for 10 years, any business, and then be in a position where we don't have anyone we want to build, you know, a new laundromat or a new business that belongs to the port, then we're going to have to go out and come up with these credits. So I have a real problem with past practice of giving them away to a private business. You know, that should be their obligation. If they want to expand their business and it's going to put more demand on the sewage system, then they should be paying for it. So that's what I want the board to consider, is we do not give away an asset that the count, or that the taxpayers of the district have paid for.
Kim, would you be interested in a committee, to form a committee to try to come up with a policy, or?
Well, I think the policy is pretty simple. If there's any credits, they cannot be given away without the board approval.
I understand that, but do we want to put something in our operations file when a tenant comes to build in the green building, here's the paperwork? Because we surely don't have anything like that in our office.
Okay. Kathy, do you have a recommendation on that part of it?
Well, what you're talking about is a new policy. You're replacing a past practice, and the commissioner set policy. Mm-hmm. And if it is the policy of this commission that a business, and I could name any one of the port retailers, let's use the coffee shop as one, they wanted to expand, it would take X amount of credits. What I hear you saying, and I'm not sure the rest of the commission is following it, is that they're going to expand their business. That is not the responsibility of the port to give them the credits to make their expansion.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. It would be theirs only. Okay. And so all that, you're setting the policy, and you're setting the policy in two different methods. You can set a policy in a motion, which is only good until a new motion is made, or you can make it in the form of a resolution, which lasts longer.
I would make it in the form of a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Said, do we need to have that drafted and come back with it at the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. So I would make a motion that we have a resolution drafted and to prohibit the credits that we get from the Harbor Sound to be transferred to any private business without the board approval.
I second that.
Danielle?
Oh, she's outside.
Yes.
Is there any further discussion? Richard?
No, I'm for it.
Wes?
Oh, I'm good.
Joe?
I'm good, yeah.
Okay.
Ken?
Hold on just a minute.
Just one quick question of Ken. You said the credits are only good for 10 years. What happens to the credits after 10 years?
They would disappear.
They go away.
We have time, and then, you know, I don't know if they could be extended or not. That would be a question of conversation.
I understand what you're at, but it's a...
But the bottom line is, you know, as a long-term objective that I see is putting back a laundromat. That was a cash cow.
Right.
And to turn around and penalize ourselves $200,000 seems pretty stupid.
Well, I agree. It's just the part that baffles me is that it just disappeared.
Ready to vote?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Okay. I have one more item with Harbor Sound. We can talk about it.
Okay.
Kathy, last time you proposed the moving of the doors to the back of the restrooms on the beach.
That came up at the manager's meeting between Kelly and myself.
Okay. I've talked to a couple of the people over there, and that's really a Band-Aid. It's not going to be a proven fix. And it's going to require a lot of maintenance. It still requires, I don't know if all of you are aware, but the sand traps are nothing like a coffee filter. And when the sand gets in them, they have to be emptied. If they're not emptied at appropriate times, the sand goes into the sewer system. And it's just like if you're running a sandblaster through the pipelines and into the pumping apparatus, we're destroying their equipment. They've contacted us last April, and they want a fix. And we put in doors, we've done some basic fixes, but what I would recommend is we have Jack Akins, the engineer, get with Harbor Sands, and according to them, it's not an expensive system, but you put in a sand filter. The sand filter only has to be cleaned, could be weekly, monthly, you know, depending on the size and all that. There's an issue that restroom is built right on top of some sort of a, do you know what the drain issue is over there, Kathy?
I can't answer that, no.
That's why I would make the recommendation that we have Jack Akins get with the harbor engineer or staff and come up with a permanent solution. And, you know, if it takes, you know, I don't think it's so severe that we can't solve it. It shouldn't take building a new restroom. But what we're doing is all Band-Aids. And we're not getting anywhere. And they're not real happy with us. So my recommendation on that, I'll make a motion that we have Jack Akins get a hold of Harbor Sand staff and see if they can come up with a solution to put in a sand separator.
And the best guess on that was $100,000.
No, well, that's not according to what I've heard. So okay. I think it would be...
Second opinions are always good.
Okay, but I think it would be wise to get a opinion and a price tag. And it can't cost that much to have Jack, I don't think. And we can put an authorized amount on there if you want.
I can't tell you when he might be available, but I will reach out to him and tell him what's going on. Kelly is on vacation this week, and I had reached out to her that, you know, before you know it, we're going to be in the high tides. We're going to be in the winter storms. And I was still hoping that for less than $5,000, we could put up a pony wall in front of the doors while this is being engineered. And so far her board was not ready to offer that to me.
Right. So I would I guess the first thing would be you would need to talk to Jack Akins and see if he's interested in doing that. And if he is, then I would make a motion we spend up to $1,000 in the feasibility of putting in a sand separator and some costs.
I'll second that.
Comment before we vote. Mm-hmm. So the issue isn't just the big tides, it's also the surfers that are washing their wetsuits and the people that are coming off the beach and washing their feet.
Exactly.
And their kids. So it's not an event that occurs just once. It is occurring day after day after day as people use that restroom. We could use the existing sand filters are about that big and they sit in the drain and have to be cleaned out about every hour to be effective. And we don't have the personnel to do that. You could do that if you washed everything out instead of in the drain, which is kind of counterproductive. So the only real solution, I think, is what Ken suggests, and that's to bite the bullet and do what we have to do to fix it. Because I've had some experience with pumps and bowls, and that sand is just like he said, just like sandblasting those bowls on those pumps, and pretty quick they're gone. That's Harbor Sanitation's expense. So, anyway.
So we have a second. I seconded. Danielle?
Ken Range?
Yes.
Richard Heath?
Yes.
Roy Davis?
Yes.
Wes Fairchild?
Yes.
Joe Spear?
Yes.
Okay, moving on to new business. Jay Sloan, as advised by counsel, no discussion necessary. B, ground user agreement form. Kathy?
This came forward. Richard Heath wanted to address this.
So after the event where the boat race got canceled, and I finally looked at one of those forms, it's pretty evident to me that that form isn't very well done. I mean, it's not very explanatory what's going to happen. There's the name of an event and a brief description. I think we would be much better off to revise that form without making it unduly complicated, to have a little better description of all the activities that are going to be involved. We need to add a piece on there. If there's going to be portable restrooms brought in, Harbor Sanitation requires a
permit
fee for each of those, so we should have a place on there that specifies that. And I'd certainly be willing to sit down with some of the event sponsors and have a discussion about this and parking and all the things that we've come up with that we've discussed here tonight, to see if we can't come up with a package that pretty well represents what we want to do. The dilemma I see here is we're having special events, which I think are great. We're also having fishermen come over here to try and fish, and sometimes the two aren't necessarily meshing very well. And I'll use the latest event that happened down there, the Pirate Festival. I walked through there on Saturday and I parked over by the green building, and as I went by the boat wharf down, I see some guy trying to back his boat out of that traffic down there, and the problem was there were cars and motorcycles parked in the boat wharf, so he couldn't get in there, plus he couldn't get out. So I helped him get out. I walked over to the boat ramp launch or boat launch parking area, and every time a boat trailer, this is about 11 o'clock, every time a boat trailer pulled out, two cars pulled in. So pretty quick, he replaced all the boat trailer parking. So the guy goes down, gets his boat out, comes back to go find a place to park while he cleans his fish, and there's nothing left. So we have this conflict, and I'd like to figure out if we can sit down with the event sponsors and see if we can't figure out a way to resolve that.
Richard, I think is awesome. So Mike, would you be interested in that? And,
yeah.
I mean, Richard has a lot of good ideas, for sure. He's a problem solver. And maybe we could reach out to Bruce Ellis. Barbara, I'm going to call on you, honey.
No,
I'm going to call on you.
Too.
Okay, okay. And you have a public comment up here, and I'm going to call on you, please.
Well, let me work with Mike and some of the event sponsors, and we'll put a group together. We'll include some fishermen, too, so we can kind of have a general discussion about this and see what we can come up with. Right.
But we definitely want Barbara Silomera
right
in this circle as well. She has done leaps and bounds for events promotion, so we want Barbara to be included in this, please.
Okay.
So, but Richard's a great guy to work with. Learned a lot about Richard
and the rest of the community here from the board. So, so Mike, you look forward to that. Barbara, you look forward to that.
Let me can I ask a question now? So, if we have a meeting,
if you have a committee, it has to be public notice. It's a public meeting.
If we had a manager meeting with the people involved, do we still have to do that?
When Kelly and I met manager to manager, we wanted witnesses to our conversation.
Right.
And it was nice, and it was important. And which reminds me of the MOU. What did we ever do about the MOU?
Well, we'll just leave this as a committee, and I'll get a hold of Danielle and put it upon her to public notice it, if, and we'll do it that way.
Right. It won't have to be in the newspaper as long as it's at the library, at our door, and on our website. I think that is sufficient for public meeting notice.
I have a question. Richard, you suggested these things are in. Is that a motion? Am I changing the form?
No. Okay. Let us have the meeting first, and we'll talk about that.
I'd like to be part of that with you, Richard, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. But the one thing that did come out of the manager-to-manager meeting with Barbara Sam was that, and Danielle then called the Pirates Festival, that it was required to have a permit to put the porta potties on. So, we, with your permission, we'll make sure that is consistent on all of the grounders agreements until we've got a new one.
Okay, so there's going to be some committees. That's my event people, and Richard Heap will be your go-to guy, contact guy on it. Joe Spears will also be your go-to contact guy on it, and hopefully you can resolve things, keep our events going, and everybody get along, because I think Richard and Ken can make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I think. I want to take advantage of this board while we got it, so let's use this up. Okay, Green Building Work Group, Connie. Let's try to hold it to 15 minutes, please, Connie. It's a late meeting. And you also, Connie, can talk about the funding for the vote as well as why you're up here.
Sure. If you want, I'll do the vote first.
Any way you want to do
okay.
it.
Okay. I'm going to show you something. I have a background in development work. What you're looking at here, whoops, I'm pushing on my phone. What you're looking at here is a World War II memorial at the Arizona State Capitol. These two things are gun barrels, center cannons, one from the USS Arizona and one from the USS Missouri. One weighs 67 tons. I did all of the fundraising development work plan for the Secretary of State's office to do this. Well, you're looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
I still have the major donor plan for all the national organizations, but I also have a list of who you want to be your partners mm-hmm. right here in Oregon to do a project like that. First of all, the state of Oregon is still funding for memorials, for veteran memorials. They got $80,000 for the one that was in Gold Beach. However, they give up to $250,000, and the reason I know that was I advised the people and worked with the people to initiate a grant for the U.S. Cellular Park 80% replica of the Vietnam Memorial Wall, and they got the full $250,000, okay? So we would be eligible if that boat were to be considered a memorial in some way. So we have to look at that. But the national organizations that fund restoration projects I have that major donor list. It's proprietary information. I'll gladly share it. The Oregon Military Museum you'll want as a partner. Travel Oregon you'll want as a partner. Oregon Cultural Trust you'll want as a partner. We're talking funding partners. And the Oregon Historical Society. In addition to that, the Oregon Museum Association will give you really good information on how to project manage or to come up with other funding for restoration projects. And the National Endowment for the Arts provides significant funding if you have to go to the feds. So technically, depending on how you want to go about this, I know where the money is, but I'll give you this information. I don't think you'll have to do a whole lot of outside fundraising if you use the things that are already funding for memorials and for restoration projects.
Richard, I get the funding. Who's going to do the work?
You know, it's real simple. Right now, if you wanted to hire somebody to do your cursory plan, I just filled out a grant to the Ford Family Foundation. They have what they call a capacity building grant, but what it technically, and they fund up to $5,000, they turn it around in less than 30 days. I have never heard of that grant not being funded. And what you do is it pays for you to hire an outside expert to do the work for you, to put together that development plan. And so I just filled that out and turned one in. It took me about an hour to do the whole thing. And even though they ask you what your budget is, you don't even have to show them your budget. They just take your word for it. In other words, the idea is to provide outside consultants in situations where you can't do it yourself and you can't be expecting somebody to do it for free. And that could be turned around in less than 30 days. And I'll gladly share that information with you too. So you can get an outside person to help manage that. And I would give over a name. I personally won't have time to do it, but I certainly can help fill out that grant and help you choose somebody that might make sense for managing that project in the very beginning.
Okay, let me ask Richard a question, please. Richard, were you talking about who's going to do the grant money?
No.
Who's going to do the physical boat work? That's a problem, Connie, is getting people. Grant money is a problem too, I'm sure, but if even we had the money, the workforce is going to be, I mean.
Well, what they do is they provide the money. In other words, the state of Oregon, when they provide memorial funding, they expect some sweat equity in that mix. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, we don't have the personnel. Well,
the reason I asked the question, and I'll use airplanes because I'm much more familiar with those, but you know, there's a skill set that has to be available to do the work on these types of things. So we would have to find somebody who's, or some buddies, who are dedicated and knowledgeable about restoration of that type of equipment.
Well, and that's where I mentioned the Oregon Military Museum and also the Oregon Museum Association, because they will be the people that can give you the names of people that do the kinds of restorations that you want. And those are real simple inquiries. Believe me, when we were hauling a 67-ton piece of artillery back from Virginia, we had to have experts advise us on how to restore those. But that's why these exist. In addition to that, the Oregon Historical Society will also have good information on who does museum-type preservations.
Connie, can you leave a list of phone numbers and the name of the organizations with Kathy Lindley?
You know what? What I'll do is I'll put that together for you.
Correct.
You know, I just sat down and
yeah. Let's call some of these people and see what they have to say.
I'll tell you who to contact, where, and probably even have a name associated with not just the organization's name.
But right. Right. No. Human. Really appreciate that.
Okay. It'll take me a couple hours to do that, but okay. If you'll give me a couple.
Maybe weeks, sometime this week, because I'm headed up to Westport to that museum.
Okay.
And if it looks good up there, Connie, the board's going to do a vote. But if you've got contact numbers for us to call in the meantime, like that military museum, Oregon Military Museum, and they want to do something right here in Brookings, and we can put the skids on, but we're we're not, you know, we're not seeing the time frame here. We're all going to be dead here pretty soon, kind of thing. You know.
Well, this is not a big time frame kind of thing.
Right.
Because it would depending on how you do this. If you can get qualified as a memorial,
right.
Those memorial grants are turned around.
Yeah.
And I know this because we just had that done about 2 years ago when we started raising money for that 80% replica of the Vietnam Wall that's going to be at
the US. That would be totally awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
So, but that turnaround was, I think, less than 3 months.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great. That.
So I'll give you the information. We can act on it, and I'll do some more inquiring on a couple of things.
I'd like to thank you for your time mm-hmm. and your effort and your expertise, no doubt, mm-hmm. in what you're talking about. It's very clear.
Well,
so thank you for.
You know what? You can thank the Marine for that. He was the special projects manager at the Secretary of State's office in the Arizona Capitol Museum, and they pulled me in because of my background with arts and culture development.
Thank you. That's awesome information.
Yeah, sure. But that's why I argued with you just a little bit. Let me up here.
Well, now you're going to talk on another subject,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Okay. I am.
You want to talk about the green building a little bit?
Yes, sir. I am. So I'm going to hand out a few things to you. You talked about 501c3s, and I want you to know that the work that I do for nonprofits. So these are the ethical standards that I have to go by. And so when I ask for information from the port, and I'm trying to get nonprofit money, grant money, or get foundations, private foundations involved. You don't have to look at that. I highlight that for you. I have to tell, ethically I am bound, almost like an attorney, okay?
Who binds you, Tony? What organization?
The professional organization that oversee nonprofits, okay? So years ago it was the National Society of Fundraising Executives. Now it's the AFP, the Association of Fundraising Professionals. So I go by their ethical standards. And so when I ask somebody for money, I have to tell them the truth. If I know something that might turn that donor off, I still have to tell them the truth and navigate that. So some of the truths that I was not able to tell potential funders about the green building, I have to get answered now. And for example, it was a big issue about whether those footers are actually poured deep enough, and I need confirmation of that. And that, when we did, when we had Alex Campbell, Regional Solutions Team Coordinator here, who reports directly to the governor's office, and had a walkthrough, and we're very close to dotting I's and crossing the T's to get direct appropriations, and a former port commissioner came down there mm-hmm. and misrepresented the vote of the port commission and other things. And the questions that we still need answered and that were never allowed to me because of the, I'm gonna show you the body language of your port manager when he said, don't come back until you have $1.2 million in your pocket. Well, you can't get the money if you have to tell the truth first. This, okay, that was what we were greeted with that night. Go, don't come back. So I'm gonna need some answers. I'm gonna need the port commission to provide all of the information regarding footers and foundation. That particular port commission turned off about 4 veteran leaders in that meeting, and we literally had to escort him out of that walkthrough with a person from who reports directly to the governor's office. If I'm gonna need information regarding the tsunami zone designation, because I have to provide that information accurately to funders, and that's not going to chase them away if we have it in the right context. The idea is they know that there are warts and foibles, and we have an answer and a way to navigate that. I also want to ask that you, let's see, I don't want to go through a roller coaster ride too much if I ask for a workshop. The reason I ask for a workshop is there are very specific things that we have to go over, and it's very detailed, and 15 minutes isn't going to cut it. I'm going to need permission, and I mentioned this before just a minute ago, to apply for certain grants in the short term to get funding to convene certain things, and I would apply for those under South Coast Development Council, which is now providing the economic development for the county, and so we would have an extra public policy green light going after that money. Permission to query all potential funders and a letter from the Port Commission acknowledge my permission to do so. Because when I was talking directly to Alex Campbell and other funders and mentioned the Port Commission and so forth, I didn't have anything that said, Connie, go ahead and do this. So I just need a letter that says, hey, you have our permission to go with this, and the vote of the Port Commission to continue. And I mentioned again that was that I'm touchy about that because of the way that was turned on me at that green building. Had I had that piece of paper, I would have been able to say something. I have remain current in all my conversations and trainings with funders. For example, USDA, I attended all of their workshops between since we stopped talking and now, so I know who the people are at USDA Rural Development and where the money is there, but I also have to have something cleared up. How's your relationship with IFA these days? Is it worked out, straightened up? Because I won't go after USDA money if there are still some things hanging in the background. So that's an answer I need. I have written three different business plans to see which one would work best, and created a fundraising plan for each one of those business plans. But what's happening is there's more money now than ever coming from the VA and the state of Oregon. You're going to see VA Mission Act information in your packages there. If you go to page 1011, it talks about special federally funded pilot projects. We are seeking to get one here in Oregon, here in Curry County, which would allow us to do a major project like this. Now, you're going to also see information on the VA Healthcare Summit. Well, that's kind of a misnomer, but we are going to talk about healthcare, but we're also going to talk about the social determinants of health, and especially with veterans' mental health. And we've asked the state to bring Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs top director. We already have Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs women's program coming. We have the top executive staff of the VA. We have potential funders such as the Gordon Elwood Foundation. We're putting together the nuts and bolts of all the stakeholders that would invest in a project like this. But in addition to that, I'm bringing on two people as advisors in this process to coordinate that effort. And that one is a gentleman who is Kevin Borgo. He's a PhD, but his story is that he's Native American, came off the reservation, bad poverty, went in the military, was in the Army, Somalia combat veteran, taught at West Point, got out with real bad PTSD and put himself for school. And he's a fantastic economic developer working with the tribes, and we've always wanted the tribes to be involved here in the green building, and we've already made those connections to start doing that. And then the other advisor that we're bringing in is a gentleman who is the head, he's the senior instructor at the School of Management for U of O. And he does micro-commerce development. And we see a piece of that green building providing opportunities for incubation of businesses and business development, and building that entrepreneurial
ecosystem in Curry County.
Can I ask you a question? Where are all these meetings taking place at?
This meeting will be at, and you'll see in your packet, it says the VA Healthcare Summit. It is taking place on September 21st. It'll be at Southwestern Oregon Community College. And
here in Brookings?
Right here in Brookings. Mm-hmm. I convened the meeting. I convened the first VA Healthcare Summit, and the deals that we were able to put together there was support that our veterans, this was before they had the choice act in place, that our healthcare network could do business with the VA, and veterans didn't have to go out of the area to get their healthcare, but it also keeps healthcare dollars local, and that's the same as shopping local. So we put some big deals together at these summits. And the important thing here is that we're looking for that big project that could be funded specifically from all of these groups coming together. Now, we had that in place with the VA promising staff and things like that, and the only reason it came apart was because of the poor commission issues. So I kind of was a little bit put off when I said, well, somebody said something about personal. Are you kidding me?
Okay, let me ask you another question, Connie.
Sure.
What is the time frame for all of this?
We could do something in about a year in terms of getting the funding in place to put together the plan that says we're going to be able to do A, B, C, and D and go forward. We can do that. And I know you gave me a timeline of 6 months. I think we can get it done in 4. Because of the level of public policy green light that we currently have, mm-hmm. But also because of the new energy that we're bringing together in terms of the developers and having access to that money that it's there, and it's like low-hanging fruit. Even better positioned than we were when we originally talked about the green building now. We still can go after some of the major donors that we had already wanted to go after, but we have to give some straight answers, and they have to understand why a pork commission would allow this to happen to someone like
me. We're on our 15 minutes, Connie. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask the commissioners if they have any questions for you or any suggestions of, you know, any interest in the workshop. Do you have any questions for Connie?
Well, I like your enthusiasm. I want to do something with that green building. Mm-hmm. There were 2 inspections done. One of them was the foundation. The other was a framing. We do not know. Kathy, have we ever heard anything on the IFA loans?
I got an email at 5:30 tonight. I will have them available. Tomorrow afternoon.
Super.
They have been sent to me, 6 of the original loans.
There's $307,000 owed on that building through the IFA. We do not know what is encumbered in that $307,000. It could be tied into some other building, etc. We don't know the answers to those. We're working on that. My understanding is there's a possible right-of-way issue. And if that right-of-way issue is in fact part of the solution, that means that we would have to give an easement to the county. We would have to pay to have all of that easement, a left turn lane basically created to turn into that building.
Can I speak to that real quick?
Sure.
Not to interrupt you, but we have a good relationship with county planning right now. They're wanting to see this go through. They were always willing to work with us, but that is certainly something that we have to follow through on. There was, because of the way that the county commission is configured right now, we know we have the votes to get variances and probably for the county to maybe even share in some of the costs if we can, you know, work out something with them. So that the easement thing, I don't see as a big issue. And we had navigated that pretty much in the beginning. We just hadn't dotted I's and T's, and that was something that I was told would be followed up on. And we can take it from here. you know, I don't mind presenting to the county planning commission. I do many times.
Well, I don't know what you can present to them yet. We haven't got all the information.
Well, what we can say to them is we're looking at trying to change the way that we can get to that green building. Okay. And they have that information, and they know what how and I don't have that all in front of me, how we had suggested going about it. And they're at that point in time, the county and under Carolyn Johnson, we have not had any change in that attitude. So, I mean, we can re-initiate that conversation anytime. I just won't do it until I know that certain things like the IFA and that responsibility for that $300,000+, how we're gonna navigate that. Mm-hmm. And that actual number was never totally disclosed to me, and that was something that, you know it existed, but I could never get a straight answer, so thank you for that straight answer. Mm-hmm.
Anything, Richard?
Oh, I have a lot.
Go.
I would like to see something happen here. And it's either going to be fix the building and occupy it or tear it down. We're paying $2,000 a month for that building and have been for a long time. So we've got to have something happen. And if this happens, I think that would be great. But if it doesn't, I mean, there's got to be a kind of a time certain at some point where we as a group say it's time. We've kicked this can down the road too long, and we've got to do something with this place. So I'm hoping, it sounds very promising to me, and I hope it turns out.
And we always had a plan for where the money was. We were just being hamstrung by the lack of information, and that's why I say I have to tell these truths. And
trust me, everybody on this board wants that information. We really want to know the facts. Can we do something with that or not? If we can't, let's cut our losses. I mean, just get out of it. But if we can fix it and we can, it can be done, then great. That would be a excellent asset
to the
community.
Barbara, please.
I could add something to this conversation.
Oh, Barbara, we're going to call on you, please.
No, it's not about what I was writing.
I know, but we have a person on the floor that has the floor.
Excuse me. Other people.
Okay. Please.
Thank you.
Okay. Wes, do you have any questions?
No. I'm, again, depressed.
I also, like Richard, you got to put a time frame on it, Connie. Got to be a time frame.
So did the board, I speak to that, Bo? Is 4 months going to work for you? 4 months?
We're going to have to let the board to decide that. I'm probably thinking a workshop. Let you make a presentation one more time, and then let the board... No.
Well, I'm thinking that this is all a little premature. I think first thing we need is the answers to these questions.
To the questions.
Is the foundation secure? Okay. Is the framing all right? Can it even be done?
Okay.
Once we get the answer to that, then we explore what happens next.
One thing that we do have is with regards to the trusses, is we have an architect's rendering of how to fix that. And all we have to do is then get that architectural stamp. So we know that. And my brother, who's did trusses for a living, saw the architectural remedy, and he went, I don't see it. There's a problem there at all. Now,
an engineer has looked at the building, and it is structurally sound, and in the repairs are minor. It's just whether it's cost effective.
And the other part of it is $1.2 million is not a hard amount to raise with the right information. And we just never could get the right information. And also, without that right information, I can't dot I's and cross T's. So we were always just chasing our tails because of the hurdles that were thrown up in front of us. And if you take those away, we're good to go.
Okay, so we're gonna cut you off now, Connie, courteously. Make a list of your needs, your questions. Please put them in format, not in handwritten. Please put it on format. Take it to the office. Make sure you give it to Kathy or Daniel, the staff.
Okay.
And then I believe that our staff will do their best in a timely manner to get you some answers.
And I have to tell you, it was a litmus test for me that they came to me to make sure I have my information instead of me having to go five times and say, are we on the agenda? So
right.
Thank you for that. It made me rest assured that I was going to be heard.
Well, get your, like Richard said, let's get some answers for you. Definitely no harm in that. And see where it goes from there, and then we can, you know, possibly put a time frame on it, and because something's got to happen, and there's some great ideas floating around that are definitely in the best interest of the port, Connie. There's several groups that have come forth now, so definitely I think all of us would love to see a veterans memorial type building in there. I know that I would. So get your information to the office, and let's see if we can't get you some answers and go from there.
And one small thing is on the IFA, I need to know if we have to get that covered some way first, because we may be able to do that. But I'm just saying that'll add what, another $300,000+ to what we have to raise.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to know it, and then I can plan accordingly.
Right, and Kathy may mention she's
Thank
got
you.
The.
That's good information.
Got the information, so.
So let us do a checkup on the patient. If we can resuscitate it, we'll go from there. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
A lot of people were disappointed, and a lot of people were like, okay, how can we work with them? I said, you know what? Over time. And so that's why we're still here.
Yeah.
Because of your resilience, our resilience, and that attitude that we're going to get her done.
Well, we all want something for the veterans and the green building, so. And if we can get a national project here in Brookings, we'd be loving it.
It can be done. We were not the hurdles, I promise you that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Connie.
You're
we look
welcome.
Forward to seeing you again.
It's great to be back.
Okay. Keep coming back.
With a new attitude. Never going away. I never really went away. I just stayed away when I was avoiding gunfire.
Okay. So.
Yes.
With that being said, we're going to go into Commissioner's Report. Ken Range?
You have a person that wanted to talk to you first, didn't you? Oh, okay, never mind.
Barbara looks like she left. She got upset with me. But I am going to tell the public I'm going to run an in-order meeting, and I always have, and it's going to be fair. And if somebody's got the floor, that person's totally got the floor at that time. I'm not taking comments from the back row. People waving their hand, making face gestures at me. That's how I'm running this meeting. So if you see people get up and leave in the back row that's back there making hand gestures and face gestures to me, I'm not taking away from the person who has made time to get on the agenda, and everybody in the world has the answers. We're gonna hear that. The board's the authority. The manager has been asked to get some information for Connie, and I believe that will be done, so. If I don't call on somebody, I'm not disrespecting you. I'm just giving the respect to the person who has the floor at the time. Or if another commissioner is talking, that commissioner is going to have the floor. The manager is going to have the floor. And I will try always to let the public talk in the end. Like we're going into commissioner's report now. We're going into non-agenda related comments. If somebody didn't fill out a comment form right about now and they got something to say, we're going to let them say it. We're going to let them ask a question about tonight's meeting or a topic. If they have a topic. So I'm definitely not denying anybody a turn to speak, I promise you. We've had that. So anyway, Commissioner's Report, Ken Range?
I've covered everything I wanted to cover tonight.
Let me get this right. Richard?
So the salmon season officially ends, recreational salmon season officially ends on the 26th. It's over. But it officially ends on the 26th. There's not very many fish being caught, so we're done, pretty much. I will remind people that we are not having a September season because of impacts. I explained that when I came in before. Everything we catch after September 1st, that's a Klamath fish, comes off the top next year. And it's an expanded number. So if we catch 5 Klamath fish, the number of impacts means maybe 200 to 300 fish come off the top next year. So given the low abundance, I elected to not do that this year. So that's why we're not fishing in September, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, Danielle.
Is there gonna be a bubble this year?
There will be a bubble,
okay.
4 days.
4 days?
The first and second weekend of October.
First and second?
I'm pretty sure I'll have to check the information. One fish this year? Do you know?
One fish.
One fish.
And the size increased 2 inches.
The size went to 26 inches, correct? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a state does that, not me. But that's based on a forecast for very low abundance in the Chetco this year. Which, just as a personal aside, I cannot differentiate why we have no fish and the Rogue has a forecast of 440,000. Third highest on record. The fish go to the same place. So if it's ocean survival, you're going to have to explain to me why our fish don't and theirs do. Anyway.
May I ask a question? Are we
going to
have a sand during?
No. Well,
that's what I thought.
We're not going to have a season during September, so they're having a salmon famine event.
Famine.
I think.
Oh, they are having it?
I think.
They're having the event, yes, without the fishing.
But no fishing.
Right. Correct. Correct. Mike already left as well. Wes, do you have anything to report?
Nope.
Joe?
No.
Well, I do. I am so happy that piece of property next door to David Allen State Farm is getting debrushed and cleaned up. I cannot tell you. Baby. I walked that the other day, and I'm telling you what, not really much frightens me, but that was pretty frightening of the debris of garbage. The people that were there were non-threatening, you know, but just the port owns that property, and it needs to look like the port owns it, and it's part of the cleanup process. It's getting groomed. Travis ran into a hiccup, an inch and a half pin, broken half, which never happens on heavy equipment, hardly ever, but it did. So they had been stung by bees. They are dressed up like hazmat people over there. I wouldn't want to do that job. And they're cleaning it up, and they're not complaining about the bee stings. And I watched Brett today. He was awesome. He was great. He had about a 10-foot weed eater, and he was whacking at a bush like that. Joe, was that you standing there with me? And he'd whack at that bush a couple times, and he was looking for bees. He didn't want to get in there just wide open, and he was checking for bees because him and Travis were Travis was stung horrendously. He was very much in a lot of pain. So that cleanup project is going on. I want to remind everybody, whether you're an events coordinator, people who work behind the scenes, you got people that are willing to work with you on this board right now is Connie. Connie has talked about past, but right now, I can't tell you what a board you got up here. And so if you got something you want to get done, come to these men. They're here to help you. They're not here to do this to you, Connie. there has been good fishing. I talk with Trinity like every other day. She's our local fish checker lady. And a lot of fishing's been good. There's been some salmon caught. It's been slow. There's a lot of good going on, my goodness. Anyway. Thanks for coming tonight. Thanks for hanging out for the executive session and coming back in. Very, very important.
Are we going to go back to the previous plan? The executive meeting will be at the end of the meeting.
If we don't have a lawyer to pay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If we don't have a lawyer to pay, the executive session will be last, and you won't have to do that. We got some really steep lawyer bills.
But to answer Kim's question, the next two meetings, it looks like we'll have executive sessions. And if you want to pay the attorney to be here for the whole meeting, or if you want to have the executive session in the morning and or early.
Right, and that's why I said, if we have a lawyer involved, then the executive session will be first. And
well, Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Can we have an executive session at 4 o'clock or at 5 o'clock and then have the meeting at 6?
That would be much better for people.
Why not?
But, you know, as long as the public meeting is advertised properly.
That's what we should do.
That'd be better for a lot of people instead of being here at 9:30 at night.
Yeah, I don't like making everybody wait.
Those kids are supposed to be ready for school
tomorrow. They'll be okay, they're mine.
I'm impressed how well behaved they are.
They're going to be locked up in the closet when they get home.
Okay, so with that being said.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Third.
Meeting adjourned at 9:05, Tuesday, August 21st, 2018.